Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, or diagnose. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 75, here on Wild Card Weekend. With today's co-host, the guy who's so fly he's going to take you to the sky, Sign Guy. How you doing, brother?
Doing all right today, Coach. I haven't seen Wild Card wrestling in a while.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, why don't you introduce our guest for today and then ask him the first-timer question, please.
All right, our guest today is wrestling veteran, FEW star, Rampage Radisson. And Rampage, the first-timer question, since it's your first time with the Coach Mike Jones Show, can you tell us how did you get into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Well, thank you for the warm welcoming. Let's see, I was 15. I was working at the snack bar as my very first job at a bowling alley, and I seen that there was a meet and greet session that a wrestling organization was holding with Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I didn't expect anything like that to happen coming into work, being a 15-year-old who likes wrestling. And so I went and grabbed a flyer, and the rest is history. I went to ask my mom. I already had my license at the time. You could be 15 and a half, almost 16, and get your license. I had my license. I asked my mom if I could go to it. It was kind of like one of the very first things she let me do, because I was pretty sheltered growing up. And she said, yeah, shockingly. And I went to the show with a friend of mine by the name of Josh, and we watched the show. We had a good time, and we were, you know, kind of like one of those people that kind of like hang around after the show to try to like get autographs and stuff and pictures with the wrestlers. So we kind of did that. And the guy that they rented the ring from said, hey, you want to help with the ring? I was like, sure, you know, super starstruck, and I didn't think anything of it. And then they're like, have you ever thought about being a wrestler? I was like, no, but I like wrestling. And they're like, you should look into it. Here's my card, and give me a call sometime. I was like, okay, this is history. I was only 15 when I started training, and my mom had to sign a permission slip of liability, so just in case I got hurt, it wouldn't be in anybody's hands in particular besides my own. So, and that was it. That's how I got in.
Dang, that's awesome. And, man, you've had quite a career, man. Thank you for the interview today.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I'm always open to help others out with podcasts, you know, video calls, stuff like that. In return, you know, help promote me and the endeavors that I'm involved in. So, yeah, I appreciate you having me.
Thank you. You're welcome. And then, hey, did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I did. I played a lot in elementary and junior high. I played a lot of basketball. My last year of junior high, I did wrestling and I did bowling and I did football all for one season. And I wasn't really good at those. And then that's when when wrestling started, like pro wrestling and not amateur wrestling. Pro wrestling started, and I got interested in that when I went to that show. And I kind of let all the rest of them go because I was really focusing on that and putting a lot of thought and work into that, plus my schooling. So.
Okay, and then what was your self-defense background?
Really just amateur wrestling. That's really about it. I wasn't bad. I was pretty good. It was good to have that experience before I went to pro wrestling because aspects can be applied from one to the other, but really that was pretty much it. I now work at a police department on my regular real job. So I get pointers all the time from the other officers that's there. So that's kind of good self-defense, I think.
Yes, definitely. Okay, this next question is called Heroes. Who was your heroes growing up? And that includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Well, the very first person that comes off the top of my head, as soon as you said it, without a shadow of a doubt, was none other than the Sir Aaronis himself, Mr. Michael Jordan. Huge fan of his, always was. I was a hometown person, so I'm out of the state of Indiana, for all who didn't know. I travel a lot. I have been a huge Indiana Pacers fan growing up, but I really enjoyed the Chicago Bulls, and I loved the Pacers and the Bulls feud. That was a great feud, along with the Pacers and the Knicks. Those are two really good feuds. But back to the main question at hand, Michael Jordan. I always loved Michael Jordan. He was always that person that could do more than what anybody expected, and always went above and beyond. I've always enjoyed that about him. I've always been, like, when it comes to wrestling, people I really looked up to and liked was, like, Jake the Snake Roberts, Macho Man. Everybody was a Hogan person, everybody. And I do acknowledge him and acknowledge the fact that he's done so much for the business, but I was always that kind of person that kind of liked a lot of the popular but not so obvious popular people. So that's why I said Jake and Macho. I think all both of them are really, like, up there with popularity but not Hogan popularity. I've always been a fan of The Undertaker. I think everybody has, really. In music, I would say Kiss, huge Kiss fan. I've been every retirement. It's going to sound funny because everybody makes jokes about them being this is the last year, but I've been to every retirement concert that they've had, every tour, at least one date on the tour. This last one that they just finished up with, I went to 10 of them. The only reason why is, other than them being my favorite band and people I really looked up to, is because the show is remarkable. So overall stage show presence, fan interaction, song selection, stage awareness, everything about their show is absolutely. You'll never see another show like it. I swear, it's like a three-ring circus. Like, if you go to, like, a hole-in-the-wall circus, and then you go to, like, Ringling Brothers, and you see the huge difference, it just, you know what I'm saying, and you're fucked.
Yeah.
And that's how it was.
Yes.
That's how it was with me and Kiss.
Yes, I got to see him twice, so I totally agree. And then what
like
about that Pacers?
Show.
What about that Pacers Detroit feud?
I mean, it was different. going back and forth, fighting out of the stands and stuff. I remember that one. That was a good feud too, but it wasn't anywhere as good as the '90s feuds, like the mid to late '90s feuds with Spike Lee sitting on the sideline throwing up symbol to Miller, and Miller throwing stuff back, and them taunting back and forth. If they ever do that nowadays, man, there'll be fines
yeah,
and
yeah.
stuff involved. That was just too classic and too good, man, and it just kind of added a lot of like interest and spectacle to it with, in a way that was, even though it was hatred, it was controlled. So it was like it didn't get out of control to the point where it caused like lots of brawls and stuff. I just enjoyed those days. Those days were the best. And nowadays, like I said, everybody's butt hurt has a soft vagina, if I can say that. Hopefully I can. about looking at somebody the wrong way. You know, you people get all in out of shape and stuff. That's stupid.
It is, exactly. Okay, this next segment is called Memorable Matches. In your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable matches you've seen? That includes VHS, tape, internet, or live.
Well, coming off the top of my head, some of the most memorable matches, including all those. I was in attendance for Edge versus Undertaker in Indianapolis when, and I saw the cell when, they pulled a ladder out inside of it and everything, man. That was a crazy match. And then, I really liked Jericho, versus, I have a brain fart, Kenny Omega. Over in Japan that they had probably 4 or 5 years ago that kind of really put Kenny on the map. I think it was at New Japan Pro Wrestling. One of the Wrestle Kingdoms, I believe. That was a killer match. Always been a Jericho fan anyways. I liked Jake, pretty much a lot of Jake the Snake matches. I liked a lot of Macho matches. I don't know. I am huge fan of the Mick Foley versus The Rock on Monday Night Raw when WCW tried to ruin him and said, hey, just let you know, Goofball over on the next channel for wrestling is going to win the belt and try to give a spoiler out. I was watching WWE before I watched WCW, and I didn't even know that was a taped or non-taped event. And even if I knew it was taped, I would have still watched it just to see how it happened, how the belt exchanged hands. And the way they did it was absolutely ridiculously awesome. Like the chemistry and the psychology and everything was there. The momentum play, the up play, I mean, you name it, it was remarkable. There's a lot of matches. I thought CM Punk versus Undertaker was a real good match. I thought Punk should have taken the streak, though. It was like a year or two later, Brock did. But CM Punk was at his top right there at that point. And I think things would have been different with him and WWE if he won that match. And a really weird history fact about that match is I remember it like it was yesterday, the whole match itself from beginning to end. I was really doped up on medication because that was when I broke my leg. I broke my leg. Sure, I'm sure Sign Guy remembers that.
Vividly.
Yes, I was laying in a recliner on every medication in the world with my leg propped up, going in and out of sleep. But I made sure during that entire WrestleMania to keep my eyes open for that one match because I knew it was going to be good and it was worth every second. So that's probably a good list right there. It's probably
yes,
a good
definitely.
List. I did like Shawn and Flair. I mean, yeah, that was a good match. There's too many to really name, but they were all good. There was a lot of good ones.
Right on. Okay, and now we're excited to hear about your most memorable matches.
Well, that's a good question. Well, one of them that just stands out that I'll never forget is I can give you exact details and everything because that's how memorable it is to me. 2009 Thanksgiving night, FEW Wrestling at German Park on the south side of Indianapolis. It was myself and Sessie Sean Casey against Tommy Gage and Jake the Snake Roberts, one of my icons, one of my heroes.
Wow.
We won the match until the ref found the chain that I used. And they restarted the match, and me and Sean Casey lost by a double BDT.
Oh.
And that crowd, it held, I don't know how much that building could hold, but I do remember vaguely that somebody, we had 390 people there, and somebody came downstairs and said, hey, the fire marshal's here. They want to talk to somebody. So I was available. I went upstairs, and I remember the fire marshal saying, this place is overcapacitated. If one more person comes through this door, we're going to shut the entire thing down. So the person at the door had to turn away about an additional 75 to 100 people at the door. It was super crazy. That night in particular, pertaining to the setting of wrestling, it was so packed. It reminded me of the old Memphis days in the 80s and stuff when wrestlers had to, like, when they were walking to the ring, how they had to walk, like, sideways and stuff because the crowd was so, like, close to them. They had to try to, like, weasel their way through the crowd. That's exactly what that show was like. It was nowhere else to stand, nowhere else to sit. It was super insane. And I'll never forget it. Another memorable moment was Thanksgiving night. It was 2018. It was right before my old tag team partner and FEW owner Rob Kincaid has passed. We were still friends. We still talked. We still did stuff. We just had two different paths and roads we went down. He passed away. He was going to have a show on Thanksgiving night in Indianapolis. Well, I was at the time working for another company called ICW, and they were having a show in Indianapolis as well. And their show was entitled ICW versus ECW. And they had on the show Shane Douglas, Sandman, and Tommy Dreamer. And I remember the show that Rob was going to run. He passed away, so they decided to continue to still run the show. And I remember Mike King, which was a member of Locked and Loaded, which Locked and Loaded, for all you didn't know, is the mine and Rob's tag team name. We had a lot of – we were pretty big in the 2000 era as a tag team in the local area, actually really the Midwest. We won awards and everything. But I remember Mike King was a member of Locked and Loaded for a short time, and he came up to me and he said, hey, look, this was on Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving night, while we're in the locker room at the ICW show. He goes, look, go there and have their show. Their show's a little bit earlier than ours, starts at like half an hour earlier than ours. And they made a memorial show for Rob. He's like, it's going to kill me if I don't make that show. He's like, let me make a call. If you're okay with it, we could both go over there. Team is locked and loaded in memory of Rob. We can come back here, and we can do our matches here. I thought about it, and I was like, all right, you're right. We should probably do this in his memory. So he made a call and made it arranged. So we went over to the building that Rob was having it at, his show was at, over at WCWO. Went over there. Worked the opening match as a complete surprise. Nobody knew we were there. We wasn't advertised for the show. We wasn't booked for it originally. Came out some locked and loaded old music. Mike King came out first, and we were literally just going. I have a lot of respect for Jason Levi. I have a lot of respect for Akira. People have different opinions about them. I always respect those guys because they were doing a job for me and Mike. Me and Mike pretty much went there and swept the floor with them. That was the orders for us to be able to be there because it just wouldn't work out any other way if they put us up on the card or if they put us in like a 20-minute match in the opening. It just wouldn't work with what we had to have done because at ICW that night, it was a triple threat match. In the main event, it was Rampage Radisson versus Mike King versus Tommy Dreamer in an Extreme Rules cage match for my Crossroads Championship that I was holding at the time. So in order to do that one, we had to really haul butts, get over to the other building, do that job, and then come over to ICW and do it. And we didn't have to really rush or do anything with ICW because that's where it originally was booked anyways. So unexpected, unannounced, Mike King comes out to Locked and Loaded music, points at the camp, points at the entryway, and Rampage comes out. And I'm just going to tell you, other than the fact that it was a sad situation for Rob's passing, that, you know, they say the opening match sets a tone for the show and wrestling and gives people something to look forward to and something to look forward to. And that right there was absolutely the best tone setter in the world because when I walked through that curtain, which nobody expected me to be there, it was highly advertised that I was going to be wrestling Tommy Dreamer, so why would Rampage be at this show? As soon as I walked through that curtain, man, that was the biggest, loudest pop ever. And we went in there and we worked those two guys in like a quick 5-minute squash, and we won the match in memory of Rob. And then we both went back to ICW and wrestled Tommy Dreamer in the main event. And I end up, Tommy Dreamer hit Mike King with a Dreamer DDT impending. And at the same time as the ref counting, I escaped the cage. And I end up winning by escaping the cage before the ref hit three. In one night, I had in my, I just celebrated my 24th year in the business on January 15th. And in one night, I had the loudest boo and the loudest cheer I've ever had in my entire life. And I don't think it'll ever get any better than those two. It was,
damn,
the match was remarkable.
Very cool. Very cool, yes. Okay, Ed, at this time, I want to turn you over to the guy I'm forever indebted to, Sign Guy. I want to thank him for getting me on this show, for getting me on Turnbuckle Turmoil, and for getting me you as a guest today. Sign Guy?
Thank you, Coach. Well, Rampage, we know that in the last year and change, you decided to bring back FEW, and from what I can tell, it's been fairly successful. We know, of course, like you had said, that you and Rob worked hard at FEW to build it up, and it was always a very good drawing company. But what made you decide the time was right to bring back FEW as a company when you could have made your own company and branded it whatever you wanted? Why did you bring it back as FEW when you did?
Well, at the time I was working, I'm the senior sound tech of the America's Ultimate Queen Beauty Pageant. I'm the guy who does all their sound work for them, and they were at a venue, which is the H.J. Rick Center, holding their beauty pageant. And I had a brief conversation with the owner, and he just mentioned, man, one of the things I would love to get in here is wrestling. And I was like, oh, well, you're talking to the right person. And I just kind of slept on a couple for a while. And my wife, I looked at her one night, and I was like, man, I was thinking about helping a company or two out and getting them this building so they could run shows. And she just looked over at me one day, and that same day in the same conversation, she's like, why don't you just do your own? And I was like, okay, that'll sound like a bad idea. So season ticket holder for the Colts. That sucks. They didn't make it to the playoffs. I think they should have, but it was a stupid play that they made. But I had a friend of mine named Alex, him and his wife Sierra, and I seen them at all the FPW or at the Colts games, and I had approached him. I said, hey, have you guys ever thought about possibly starting up a wrestling promotion and being a part of it? I said, I have a connection for a building that just kind of fell upon me, and they're like, no. They're like, well, and I was like, well, think about it and let me know. And they thought about it and they wanted to do it. So we decided we were going to do it. I was sitting around thinking of a name and thinking of, a purpose for a new organization and a reason. And I just couldn't come up with it. I was having a huge brain fart. And then one day out of nowhere, it just hit me. Why am I wasting all my time and energy trying to figure this out? I was like, the answer's right in front of me. That's EW Wrestling. And so I approached Alex about it and said, hey, let's just rebrand FEW and try to keep some of the same people there that was there before, and then add, you know, people that I know would be approved in the sense of what me and Rob were looking for back in the day, and let's just add those people in, and let's just keep the ball rolling and just go pick up where we stopped with FEW Wrestling. He's like, that sounds like a great idea. And so that's what we did. And the response has been good. We've already been nationally known and recognized by What Culture. That's a podcast as well. We have the partnership with America's Ultimate Queen Beauty Pageant. That's runs nationally through the U.S., multiple states, multiple cities, and we're an Emerald sponsor with them. So our Emerald partnership with them. So we got them with us as well. Legacy Crocheting is a new partnership with FEW Wrestling. Allen Track Mobile DJ is a new partnership with FEW Wrestling. We've been on the front page, not just in the newspaper, the front page of the Greenfield Daily Reporter. And we've also been in the newspaper for the Indianapolis Star, which is distributed throughout the entire state of Indiana, with a full article and pictures and everything. So we've done charity events, we've done festivals, and a lot of those want us to come back. There's new ones that we're in talks with to do this year. And honestly, and me and Rob done a great job about getting FEW out there and having good draws and having good talent, but this time around it's different. It's like, in a good way different, like it's more. So I'm not saying, you know, just like any indie promotion, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be successful and take off like, you know, AEW and all these other places that, you know, MLW and stuff like that, but we're doing a really good job as far as what we need to do. We have great talent, and we have a good reputation. That's how the whole thing came about. And honestly, since then, it's just, since the idea was even brought up, it's just gotten better. It's gotten insanely good. Alex and Sierra do a fantastic job on their roles with the company. And, I have no complaints. You know, I will say I did sell my share of the stock to Alex, so Alex is the full-blown owner. However, I have super ridiculous amount of pull in the back, and I do a lot for the company, and it's super recognized by Alex and Sierra. So, I can't complain. The whole Alex. Alex has molded a lot over the years. Alex, believe it or not, this is going to sound funny. So Alex is like 28. I've known him for 20 years, as weird as it sounds, because his mom used to be, she's still friends with me, but she used to be in the crowd for all the FEW shows, and she used to bring her kids with her, and Alex is one of her kids, and now he's one of my business partners. And so it's weird how things like that in full circle happen, because he used to hate me. He used to give me so much shit. Let me tell you. He was probably one of the hardest people to work you off whenever you're out there giving hill heat, and then they seen you in the parking lot. Like, you know, some other people know it's a show, and they are really humbled when they find you in the parking lot stuff. And they're like, hey, good show. And they kind of like look at you in a certain way and kind of look away. Like, are they acknowledging me or not? But Alex was not that person. Alex, when I left the park, when he was to see me in the parking lot with his mom, he would still give me shit. And his mom would be like, Alex, stop that. So it's funny how everything happens in a full circle like that, because never would have I ever thought that FEW would be back and running and with a fan, now a promoter of mine, a fan of mine, a heckler of mine when I was in the wrestling business. He was sitting in the audience when I fought Jake the Snake Roberts in 2009. It's just, it's crazy how life sometimes takes its turns and twists and it's different to find out where people and things land and end up. That's the story with FEW, and I ain't got a lot of complaints about it. Everybody always has this little nitpick here and there, but that's not that big of a deal, especially if everything else is running smooth. Nitpicks don't make a difference to me. That's honestly, everything's going good and everything's running well, and we got some of the best talent, and we got a great roster. I can't complain.
Now, you've been around long enough and have been to a lot of promotions over the years. One of the controversies that sort of popped up in the last few months in wrestling is Matt Cardona sent out a tweet condoning promoters that do not provide bottled water at the shows. There were people on both sides of the fence, some saying promoters should at the minimum provide water for the performers. Other people were saying it should not be a responsibility a promoter has, and it should be up to the individuals to bring their water if they need it. From everything you've seen and experienced, where do you stand on the water controversy?
Well, I didn't even know that was a controversy. That's kind of interesting. One thing that I understand about me is I look like I'm on Facebook a lot, but I'm just on there really to promote and to every once in a while I share something and to put positivity out there about the places I'm currently at or where I'm going or what I've been doing. Just because there's so much negativity on social media, I try to avoid it like the plague. And like I said, with as much activity you see on my wall, you would call me a liar. But in reality, the stuff I share on Facebook usually comes up on my feed. So I'm not going to individual pages and, like, trolling the pages and looking at people's Facebooks and creeping and stuff. I don't do any of that. I don't have time for that. My life's too busy. Don't have time for that. But knowing that that's a thing, apparently, based off what you told me, I would have to totally stand with Matt on that. I would have to totally stand with him and say, yeah, the least you could do is buy a package of water. It only costs, hell, even with the price increases and inflation going up and stuff, I mean, heck, a bottle, case of water is at worst probably, you can probably buy the cheap knockoff brand for $4 somewhere. I mean, probably prior to COVID, you could probably get it for $2, but heck, even then, that's not that big of a cost. You know, if you run out of the water that's provided in the locker room, then you just take your bottle and fill it up in the bathroom. I think you should, I think you should at least provide water for the locker room. I don't understand what the big issue in that situation is. I don't think there has been a wrestling show ever. And I could be missing something here. I don't think I've ever been on a wrestling show in the state of Indiana, or really any state that I've been. I've wrestled in 35 of the 50 states. And I honestly, most of the places I have not wrestled in is the West Coast. But I don't think there's been a promotion I've never been to that didn't have water. But I agree with Matt Cardona. There should be at least. I mean, if you're too much of a cheapskate to be able to afford $4 for a 24-pack case of water, then what in the hell are you doing running a wrestling show?
You're not wrong there, in my opinion. Now, putting on your promoter's hat, we know in the last 20 years a lot has changed as far as ways to promote and responsibilities of promoters, so forth, so on. Social media really changed a lot as far as a way a lot of promoters will promote. Some guys strictly use social media and they don't promote any other way. Other people use social media as one of the avenues they have to promote. But a lot of people still go out and hang up flyers in store windows and on telephone poles. You see people going to businesses trying to get sponsorships. You see people trying to get individual matches sponsored by companies and sometimes even individual fans. What are some of the ways as a promoter and also as a booker, which you've done before as well, have you seen in the business as far as what is acceptable to do, what you can do, what is being done that maybe 20 years ago was not?
Well, I can tell you something 20 years ago that was done that's probably not done now for sure is faxing. And one day I remember very like it was yesterday that me and Rob one time, we were trying to get sponsors for FPW Wrestling, and instead of going out, so we still went out to business to business to business to business and tried to hit some stuff up, but we tried to put it in a sense of when either A, we were out flyering, or B, when we were in a certain area, and we thought maybe there might be something that would be good for that. For wrestling, I should say, as far as sponsorship goes, something that was kind of like related to it, people that might draw interest. But I know we used to, when we didn't go out on foot and try to find sponsors, one thing that we did is we pulled out a fax machine. We got a fax machine at the yard sale. What we did was we would pull out the yellow pages and we would go through and look up businesses in Indianapolis. And we would go through and find businesses and businesses that we thought would possibly have some sort of interest. And typically we would know what the businesses were before we did it, but there was some that we didn't know. And so I went and printed off a sponsorship sheet, and we would literally look up in the yellow pages, like the business's fax number and their regular landline number, because sometimes back in the day the landline was hooked to the fax and you had both either landline and fax going through the same line. And I remember we used to just send out, we would take my sponsorship sheet and we would fax so many businesses, so many, and we would get so excited when we got a fax back. We didn't get a lot of faxes back, but we would get really excited because we knew somebody got our fax. And definitely an ancient history type of thing that you probably won't see now or probably wouldn't be successful way less successful than what it was then, but it was a really cool thing, a cool idea at the time that we came up with that we did, and it did work. We did land sponsors that way. It just didn't work consistently. We had more luck going out on foot and getting sponsors than we did doing that, but, you know, on rainy days, on cold, snowy days, or even, like, days we just didn't feel like it, which everybody has those. We always pulled the fax machine out. We were always working around the clock to try to make something, some kind of magic happen. It didn't always work, but that's what we would do. I definitely think going out on feet as a lost, and flying as a lost art form. I think people these days rely too much on social media. I was talking with Wildcat Chris Harris prior to the rebirth of FEW when we had our first show approximately a year ago, and I was telling him when I booked him for it, I was like, hey, we're doing social media, we're doing, newspaper, and we're doing, word of mouth, and we're out putting out flyers on foot, and I sent a picture of him on a flyer we hung up at a comic shop, and he's like, he even said out of his own mouth, he goes, that's why you guys will succeed, is because the flyers that you actually go out and put in businesses on foot, that's why you'll succeed. And here we are a year later, we're still here. As a big completely, look, I'm not going to lie to you, we've kind of slacked a little bit on the flyer on feet. I had a career change, and Alex got super busy, but we're still making it. We still have, like I said, those people backing us. I think to these days, though, a lot of people rely too much on social media, and a lot of people are using it as the backbone of what they need for people. So here's a funny story. So I'm not going to lie to you. There's another company out of Greenfield. I'm not going to name names or talk smack. I'm just going to tell the truth on this story. There's another company out of Greenfield that runs a wrestling show. All right, so I made the announcement in October, before we had our show in January, that we were bringing FEW back. We were going to have it in Greenfield. I'll be honest with you. We didn't even know that that other company existed until 2 weeks before our show. We never seen one flyer anywhere. If we'd known that, we probably wouldn't be running in Greenfield. But that's my point I'm trying to make. Out on foot, flying is a lost art form. You go downtown Indianapolis, oh, dude, you see flyers everywhere. You see flyers everywhere. I was just down there for Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And I seen an old flyer for some wrestling organization that was running out of Fountain Square. I don't even remember what the name was. And I was like, damn, that's an old-ass flyer. So somebody's got that concept down and understands what it needs to be done, and others don't. But, I don't even remember what the date on the flyer was. I just seen it. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Somebody else understands what it takes to flyer. I think social media is too blown up, and I think on promoting, I don't think you can get too successful with social media promoting. I think you need to go out and flyer too, and the same thing with getting sponsors as well.
Well, at this point, I know Coach also has a little bit more for you, so I'm going to pass things right back over to the coach with the most coming at us from coast to coast.
Okay, Rampage. We got a mail-in question from one of the biggest haters in wrestling, Darth Carta. He wanted you to tell the fans about when you almost died from a wrestling-related injury.
Well, I didn't die. I don't think there was ever a time where I almost died. The closest
okay.
I got is breaking my leg. No. Okay, so I did almost die. You're right. No, I did. All right, so it started with a leg break. So I broke my leg. I'll try to give you the short version because this actually could be really drug out long, and we ain't got much time. So I broke my leg. For almost a month and a half, I was consistently in the hospital for roughly around 5 to 7 days, getting released, going back because the infection kept happening in my leg. It wasn't healing up properly. There kept being an infection. They had to go back in, put me back under surgery, clean the thing out, and then bring me back, and I didn't recover, of course. So one of the times I'm at home, and I had just returned to work. Everything was fine. At the time, I worked about an hour away from my job, and my then-girlfriend, I walked in, and she was like, "Hey, what's up?" I'm like, "Nothing." She's like, "You okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, just having a hard time breathing." I said, "I think it's just me trying to get used to walking again." And she says, "Okay. Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." She left the room and she came back and I was super breathing heavy, super breathing. She's like, "Are you sure you're fine?" I'm like, "I don't know." She's like, "Come on, get in the car. We're going to take you to the hospital." So she runs me to the hospital, took me to the emergency room. Well, not the emergency room, took me to the ER, you know, and they said, "Okay, well, we're going to get you in a room right away." So they get me in a room, they take me back, and I'm sitting there, it's just me and her for, I don't know, 30 seconds. And one of the most scariest things that ever happened to me is, like, I had a flash mob of doctors and nurses and everybody just flood the room I was in and start grabbing hoses and needles and everything and started pricking me and attacking me all at the same time. And I was like, it was kind of overwhelming and kind of nerve-wracking, kind of made me lose my, it kind of made me even more like losing my breath because I was like, never seen anything like this before, never been involved in anything like this before. It was like, oh, like I was just so shocked and stuff. And then, they hooked me up to a whole bunch of machines and stuff, and insert me with a bunch of stuff, fluids and a whole bunch of, like, needles and stuff. And they let the situation control itself. I had originally told my girlfriend then that I was going to, if my breathing hadn't gotten better, I was going to go to the ER in the morning and just go off work. And then that's when she took action in herself and was like, "No, you need to go now. Let's go." And all that other stuff happened. So we fast forward back to the main situation after everything got settled down. After everything got settled down, I had the doctor come into the room. He said, "I need to talk to you for a minute. I need you to really, like, channel with me on this." And I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "I need to talk to you about something very serious." And I'm like, "All right." He goes, "So what happened is you had a blood clot that was forming in your leg injury, and it was traveling up to your lungs, and that's why you were having trouble breathing." He said it hadn't quite got to your lung quite yet, but it was on its way there, and that's why you were having a lot of more trouble as you went on with your day on breathing. That's why it was becoming less for you. He goes, "And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you would have went to bed tonight and woke up tomorrow to go to the emergency room, you wouldn't have woke up tomorrow."
Goodness.
And I'm like, "Whoa." That was completely mind-blowing. I was like, "Wow, okay." So I'm not going to lie to you. That was my one death-defying experience with pro wrestling, even though it wasn't technically involving pro wrestling, but it was because of it. The leg injury was through wrestling. But that's the one time with death I can honestly say that I went face-to-face with. So ever since then, I'm not going to lie to you, I handle medical situations a little bit more serious. Like, this is going to sound super crazy and ridiculous, but I sometimes run to the emergency room just because I got cut on my hand. I mean, sometimes you just never know the severity of things until you actually get a professional's opinion. So I don't handle medical situations any lightly anymore. I handle them very serious.
Exactly. What a blessing, and thank God for the ex-girlfriend and those doctors.
Yeah, right? Oh, crap, man.
And then, okay, this next question is, who are your favorite people to work with?
How did I have a feeling that was going to come up? See, I was trying to, like, sit down and think of some of the questions I could possibly ask. I was like, that ain't going to be one of them. Oh, boy. I see. I screwed myself there because I was like, that ain't going to be one of them. Let me see. God, that's a huge list of people. love wrestle Cody Nunn. His moniker is he makes death look real, and that's just true. He really does. I love wrestling Scarecrow. He's a great in-ring talent that doesn't get enough credit. I'm trying to keep things on the independent circuit and not big name stars. I've worked a lot of those. I'm trying to think, especially Sean Casey. No matter if he's my tag partner or he's standing across the ring from me, the dude's a beast. He's a super good talent. So love working Bobo. He's the easiest guy in the world to work, I think. The only thing that's hard about him is his chops. Back in the day, me and Rob did a lot of stuff with Dice Man Ronnie Vegas. He's like the easiest guy in the world to work with. I love working Dice. Just the list is could be super crazy. There's a lot of people I'm not even connected with anymore that could be added to this list. I'm just trying to think of current people that I'm currently active with. Mike King could definitely be one of them. Rob Kincaid was definitely on top of that list. Man, before we were tag team partners, I trained with a guy named Ken Gordon. He trained with Quicksilver, Keith Goldsby. And then we both got done with training with those people. Then we went to WCWO and trained with Don Basher. And Don Basher literally took mine and Rob's match. We had us work each other in singles. Every freaking town that WCWO ran in. So me and Rob knew each other like the back of our hands. It was great. So we knew everything we were going to do. It was one of those chemistries that I could look at somebody and just tell you what his next move is going to be. And there's not many people you can get that close to in the business to be able to say that you could do that. Me and Rob are definitely those people. And that's why we decided, we're like, well, we're already familiar with each other and we already know what each other's going to do. So let's take that and make that a team. And that's why we were really, really successful as a tag team.
Awesome.
I was a 27 time tag team champion, and 25 of those was with Rob. So
nice. What a blessing.
Yeah. So.
And then the next question is, who are some of the toughest wrestlers you faced? And I see your list of wrestlers that you faced. You faced some of the toughest, like Kevin Thorne, King Kong Bundy, and Chase Stevens. Who else were some of the toughest wrestlers you faced?
Bundy was at the Illinois State Fair, I'm going to say, like 2004, 2005. He was so easy. Me and Rob worked him in a handicap match. It was the easiest guy in the world, man. It was like he looks super intimidating, but he's the biggest softy in the world, so I can't even say he was tough. probably, I don't know. I would have to say, like, man, that's a good one, though. It really is a good one. Kevin Thorne was pretty good. Kevin Thorne was a good, tough guy to face. Everybody, I'm not saying that they're – Kevin Thorne was very challenging. He pushed your limits, and that's what I liked about him. So he was pretty tough. Sean Casey does the same thing. That's why I like Sean. Jake was pretty mellow. Bundy was a softie. Chase Stevens is a superb talent. Love that guy. He was super easy. I loved working Chase. I don't know, as far as tough goes, though, I don't think he was like tough. He was pretty non-complex. I don't know. Kevin,
hey, hold on a second. I heard Chase was tough in real life, where he didn't take no shit from anybody, because I heard a couple incidences he had.
I mean, I don't know if there was any. I don't think there was any at the FEW show, but there might be. There might have been. I don't, like I said, I don't follow the internet stuff around too well and, like, the social media stuff. So maybe there was. I don't know.
All right.
We're talking about my experiences. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then, hey, hold on a second. I know Sign Guy's probably got to get going. He's got a show to go to today. How much more time do you got, Rampage?
The old lady gets off at 4 from work, and so she's coming over to eat. We're going to eat and spend the evening together.
Okay, well, so we'll wrap it up here pretty soon. So let me get it to Sign Guy so we can give his plugs, and we'll let him go. Sign Guy?
Alrighty.
All right. Well, you can find me later today at Linwood, Washington, at Club Hectic for Combat Pro Wrestling Presents Theatrical Wrestling. Also, Northwest Pro Running today. I won't be there because I can't be in multiple places at once. But if you're on that side of the water, go see them. Tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we have MK Bandit, manager and announcer out of the Salt Lake City area. We also, on Tuesday, have a Buddha special on the show. Tom Simon making up his interview from when we had technical difficulties. So join us on Tuesday at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And next Friday on the show, we have Pandemonium. So that's going to be an interesting one. Join us for that. You can find me on all the social medias, the YouTubes, the Book of Faces, the X, the Graham, Chicken Bob on all those as well. And I want to send our best wishes out to Professor T.S. Willie, who was injured at WCWO last night. He had a freak accident, was taken to the hospital. It was very scary from what I'm told, but he did not suffer anything overly serious, so hopefully he'll be healed up and back at it soon. And that is what I've got.
Thank you so much, Sign Guy. We appreciate everything you do.
All right, Rampage, I will see you down the road, brother. Best of luck at FEW tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thank you, brother. See you soon.
Okay, Rampage, what else you got coming up?
FEW tomorrow, the one-year anniversary show of the return. We got a lot of good matches on the card. Myself and the British Empire will be taking on Sadari and the tag team champions, the Cornfield Mafia. We got Michael Elgin, former Ring of Honor star and New Japan wrestler. He'll be taking on Brandon Day. We've got number one contenders for the FEW Women's Championship. We got Lexi Green taking on Haley Shadows. One-man crew getting his shot at the FEW Championship against King Mitchell Taylor. Cody Nunn defending the FEW Mid-Continental Championship in a triple threat match against psychotic Timmy Turner and Luke Savage. We got Zay Gates versus Jacob Rose. We got Pitt Freeman in action. It's going to be a really good show tomorrow.
Right on. And then how do people get a hold of you?
Social media. All my socials is the same. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, at Rampage Radisson.
Right on. Okay. And then let me see. What are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
My very first day of practice and training, we were all suited up and we were ready. And the trainer, he's like, all right, you guys ready? We're like, yeah. He's like, all right, we're going to have our first training session. Okay, here's your first training session. All right, we're all in our suits and ready to work up a sweat and learn some stuff. And the trainer said, keep your eyes and ears open and your mouth shut. End of training session. And we were all shocked and astonished, and we were like, what the hell? and we were kind of like all disappointed, and that was it. There was no training. That was the training session. That was the lesson for the day, and there was no reiteration on it or what that meant or anything. Looking forward now, that's the best training session I've ever had, and that's the best advice I can offer anybody. Don't get involved in the drama. Don't be the drama. Keep your eyes and ears open and your mouth shut. Mind your business, do your thing, and then make everybody happy in the process, and then move on to the next town or the next city or the next company, and just keep doing your thing.
Amen. Hey, and I've been to Heroes and Legends like 3 times now. I think there's a chance that we cross paths there. Have you been there?
I have never been there. I was actually booked for Heroes and Legends, I believe, in 2016. I had to go back and look at my Facebook page. And then the promoter, Jason, I was a week before the show. I messaged him, and I said, hey, I just wanted to make sure we're still good. He said, oh, you need to submit tapes to my coordinator, and he'll get back with you. I'm like, are you serious? I was like, you booked me for this like months ago. And he's like, yeah, we had a change of management. Sorry. You got to understand, So he used to run a company in Marion, Indiana called EWF Wrestling. I was a 6-time tag team champion with Rob and Kate up there. And you're going to tell me that I need to submit to your coordinator and after you've already booked me and you know everything about me? Seriously?
No,
I have never been to Heroes and Legends. I got booked for it that one time, and that was it, and then it never even happened. So I don't do anything involving Heroes and Legends, and I don't support them.
Okay, right on. And then let's see, who are some up-and-comers that we should keep an eye on?
Jacob Rose, super good guy. Trained by Cody Hawk, who's also the same guy who trained John Moxley. Shauna Reed, same thing, trained by the same person. Zay Gates is really good. Pitt Freeman, he wrestles for FEW. He just graduated recently, like in the last year or two, from Seth Rollins training school. So you should definitely look out for him. He's got a lot of credentials and background just with his training by itself. Hadari's a really good worker, too. Super underrated. Definitely somebody you should look out for. And Brandon Day. Brandon Day's been in the business 10, 12 years, maybe 15. I don't know. But the dude is super underrated and should be in bigger places than what he's at now. So those would probably be the list I would consume.
Okay, thank you. And then what other schools would you like to suggest?
Really, I'm just going to... I don't really think there's a school, really. I've heard that the school in southern Indiana, in Shelbyville called New Era Wrestling, hosted by Damian Cole. I've heard it's a pretty good school. I've heard there's a lot of prospects that came out of there. I don't really know really too many, though, honestly, man. I wish I could say that. Brandon Day is just now opening one. It's called the Unchained Academy. That's in Ohio, and like I said, Brandon Day is super good. He was trained by Taz. He came from Taz's dojo, so the guy has the ability to train and to make people big stars, and that just recently opened, so that's one I would definitely look into as a possibility for moving forward.
For sure. Man, thank you so much, Rampage, for your interview, for your story, what you've done for wrestling, your wrestling mind, and I wish you all the luck in the world, man. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
Look out for FEW Wrestling because it's coming to a town near you.
Nice. Thank you again, Rampage. We appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, everybody. There you go. Rampage Radisson. And, of course, sign guy also. He'll be at DPW today. Be with him tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil with MK Bandit. And also, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army in the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And next week, the 27th, I have Sam Sims rescheduled. And for February, we're looking to have Peaky Santana, and Ricky Ruckus is looking to get us somebody from Emerge. So I'm excited to book those dates, and I thank you guys so much for all your support and feedback and love. We are so grateful. We thank you so much, and we love you. Here's Joe Love with the Never Were and Coach Mike Jones Show walk-on song. Thank you so much.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones.